This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين قال الله تعالى في التنزيل العزيز بعد نقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد. Today is January 29th. There is actually a lot of things I could have spoken about today. There was a tragedy in the community of a young man passing away tragically, and as he passed away, this very difficult tragedy that the parents and the family has to deal with was compounded by the irresponsible, disrespectful statements of the people around. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Kafa bil mar'i kadhiban an yuhaddisa bi kulli ma sami'a." It is enough for a person to be branded a liar for them to just say whatever they have heard, for them just to pass along information that they have heard without verifying it, just on assumption, just to, you know, get some spicy reactions. "Kafa bil mar'i kadhiban," that is actually enough to brand a person a liar. And unfortunately, this is something that is prevalent in our community. And it reared its ugly head this week as a family that's dealing with tragedy had to deal with the further difficulty, the further pain, rubbing the salt in their wounds, that we should all be coming together to heal, that salt was rubbed in their wounds by these kinds of irresponsible statements that were sent by the people. This is something that, you know, as human beings we should be conscious of. As Muslims who are supposed to be held to the highest standards, because we follow the Prophet ﷺ, who lived the highest standards of morals, we should be even more careful. But unfortunately, this is something that is neglected and ignored in our communities. We say what we feel like saying without worry of consequence quite frequently. And the people who stuff is said about, whose feelings are hurt, whose lives are affected, whose careers are affected, they are the ones who have to deal with the ugly consequences of people's speeches. So I could have spoken a lot about that today, but I just wanted to mention that. I could also speak today about January 29th, 2021. And you might remember January 29th, 2017 was a very dark day in the history of Canada and the history of Muslims in Canada, because that was the day when a person walked in as the people were finishing their Isha prayer and unloaded on helpless people, mercilessly gunning them down without regard for who was there, without regard for the elderly or the young, seeking to kill helpless, defenseless people. This is not just a terrorist, this is a coward of the highest order. And he walked in emboldened and unleashed this massacre upon the Quebec City Mosque. And we can talk about how like just saying, recalling that incident makes me angry. Recalling it just makes me angry because of what took place. I actually visited the mosque afterwards. I had the opportunity to meet with the administration of the mosque. I actually had the opportunity and I'm grateful for this opportunity that Allah gave me to visit the people who got shot, the victims of that tragedy. I actually went to their homes, met with them, sat with them, and I was amazed by their resiliency. In fact, when I went there, I went there in March, the imam who was shot was leading salah again. 2 months later, the man is back, mashallah, leading salah, and that is that amazing resilience. فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا كَلَّا إِنَّ مَعِيَ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ. In the spirit of Musa alayhi salam, who as he stood in front of the Red Sea and the people are saying, "That's it, it's all over," he said, "No, my Lord is with me." He will guide me. In that spirit we found our brothers and sisters, mashallah, who were victims, but yet they were extremely resilient. But that they are not, unfortunately, the ones that we want to talk about. Because we want to talk about the guy who did it, and the movement that inspired him, and the movement that he inspires, of Islamophobia. That is at the core of our concerns. Unfortunately, this is something that was not an isolated incident. This took place, it was repeated in Christchurch in New Zealand 2 years after that. It takes place here and there in the form of hate crimes across America, in arson attacks on masjids in America. But alhamdulillah, the good thing is, the thing that makes us hopeful on this day, that's a very dark day, is that our government has moved forward to acknowledge the problem. And acknowledging the problem is one step towards, or the first step towards solving that problem. Alhamdulillah, the government has officially designated January 29th as a National Day of Remembrance of the Quebec City Mosque Attack and Action Against Islamophobia. Alhamdulillah, we're grateful to our elected leaders for taking this step. And we thank them for recognizing this day. We thank them for recognizing the problem of Islamophobia. And we hope that this is one step towards action against Islamophobia, hate and intolerance of all types. But today is that day that we could have talked about that and Islamophobia as well, because it's literally the same day, January 29th, just 4 short years ago that took place. Today we can also talk about, but I don't want to talk about that. I actually want to talk about something else, which is in the news and affecting a lot of people. Some people are oblivious, and others are not. Which is the what is taking place at Wall Street right now. What's happening in the markets right now. And there is a reason why I chose, of all these topics, to focus on this one. Because this one actually has maybe not a personal implication to me and you. I don't think anybody of us here owns a stock in that company or has a position that is affected by those individuals. Yet, I tell you, through this incident, we will see the beauty of Islam, the beauty of the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and that the rules of Islam, the halal and haram, are actually meant to protect us in this dunya and the next. What Allah has made halal is good for us in this life and the next. What Allah has made haram is bad for us in this life and the next. It is Allah saving us from ourselves. And this incident that, or these the chain of events that led to what happened at Wall Street a couple of days ago and still going on, is a ibrah. The believer is always looking for ibrah, a opportunity to reflect. And I believe this is an opportunity to reflect that we cannot let go. We cannot just waste. A brief summary of what happened. There is, I don't want to get into the specifics, but there are multi-billion dollar funds that will borrow a stock, sell it, and then buy it later at a discounted price and return it back to the person or to the funds that they borrowed from. This is called shorting a stock, and this is, you know, a very complex financial instrument that's used. Okay, now when it goes well, you could make a lot of money because you can borrow something at $10, sell it at $10, buy it back at $7, and you made $3. Okay, when it goes wrong, it could be infinite losses. It could lead to an absolute uncapped losses. Losses بِغَيْرِ حِسَاب. The interesting thing is that this is a common industry practice. This is what was one of the reasons that brought down the economy in 2008-2009. The Big Shorts, you might remember. This is still a practice that's prevalent today. And it is actually a sham, because I cannot sell, for example, a car that I don't own. I can't sell a product that I don't have. If I was to go and try to do that in, you know, among people. But these big hedge funds can do it. The rules are different. But what happened was very interesting is that a group of people got together. These are people who are on a on an internet forum called Reddit, and they all bought the stock of the company that this hedge fund wanted to buy at a lower price, artificially inflating a price to 1,000%. And now the company that was thinking of making a few million in profit ends up losing close to $3 billion in losses. And this is a tug of war that's taking place. And now you see the ugly side of capitalism rear its head. I'm not sure if you're following this, but what happened is that the platforms that allow you to buy a stock, they halted trading. You can't buy that stock anymore. Some of them ended up selling the stock that a person was holding without their permission. That's a criminal act. And now this rabbit hole goes very deep. And there is lawsuits and whatnot. But as we remember from 2009, not a single banker went to jail. Actually, only one banker of all those bankers went to jail, and there was some miskin who had filed some paperwork wrong. But everybody else got away scot-free. And these lawsuits will happen, and people will be angry, and then we'll go back to the way the things are. This is corruption. This is exploitation at a level that is mind-boggling. And it doesn't affect us on a day-to-day. That's why we don't see it. But it is an absolute, it's the people, these people make out like bandits. And they're able to. Now, this is something, I'm not here to just, you know, cry wolf about what's happening and whatnot. I'm not just here to vent, but there is a reason. There is a reason. Our deen, when you see something like that, our deen's principles shine. The principles of our deen will shine brightly. And we long for those days where we can live by those principles, and those principles will inspire others to accept Islam. The Muslims of Malaysia, the Muslims of Indonesia, the Muslims of East Africa, these Muslims, these are millions of Muslims today, the Muslims of South India, Kerala, these people never saw a Muslim army. They didn't see a Muslim army ever. They accepted Islam because they interacted with Muslim businessmen. They interacted with Muslim businessmen. The South India and Kerala, for example, very interesting community. They're a community of Shafi'is in the middle of India. Most of India and Pakistan are Hanafis, but the South Indian community is Shafi'i because Yemeni scholars and traders came many centuries ago, and they're Shafi'i. And they, because of their beautiful manners, because of their honesty, inspired those people to become Muslim. And then, not just Muslim, they adopted the exact fiqh traditions of the people of Yemen, and to this day you find them to be following those traditions. The principles of Islam historically had inspired people to become Muslim. Particularly the dealings of honest businessmen, honest Muslim businessmen. Just like Wall Street inspires anger and rage, the Muslim businessmen of the past would inspire the desire to accept Islam. The Prophet ﷺ said in a beautiful hadith, "At-tajiru, as-saduqu, al-aminu, ma'a an-nabiyyina was-siddiqina wash-shuhada'i, akhrajahu ad-Darimi." What Tirmidhi. The Prophet ﷺ said, as narrated by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, he said, "The truthful, honest businessman." The truthful, honest businessman is with the prophets and the truthful and the martyrs. That's the rank that a truthful businessman will reach. And subhanAllah, you see that in our history. All these millions of people who accepted Islam at the hands of businessmen, traders, Muslim businessmen and Muslim traders, they are doing the job of the prophets. They're doing the da'wah of the Prophet ﷺ without, you know, going and, you know, distributing flyers and whatnot. They're doing da'wah of the Prophet ﷺ through their actions, through the sunnah, living it. Inspiring the people to accept Islam by living the beauty of Islam. This is a very beautiful, very beautiful tradition. The Prophet ﷺ also said in a hadith that رَحِيمَ اللَّهُ رَجُلًا سَمْحًا إِذَا بَاعَ سمحا إذا اشترى أو سمحا إذا باع وإذا اشترى وإذا اقتضى. May Allah have mercy. This is narrated by Imam Bukhari. May Allah have mercy on the man or the woman, the trader, the businessman, who when he purchases, he's easygoing. When he sells, he's easygoing. When he has to settle a matter, he's easygoing. He's not out for vengeance. He's not out to rob the other person blind. He's not out there to bankrupt one so he can have more money. سَمْحًا إِذَا بَاعَ سَمْحًا إِذَا اشْتَرَى. He will be easygoing. Everybody benefits. Everybody wins. The Sahaba, after the Prophet passed away, oftentimes we have narrations of many Sahaba who would go and make a deal with somebody about buying something. And then they get a good deal, sometimes a great deal. And before they, you know, when you get a great deal, you accept right away. Some of the Sahaba, like Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, would ask the person, are you sure? Are you 100% sure you want to sell this at this price? To make sure that this person doesn't feel later on the regret of having been exploited or played. Perhaps the Sahabi's aura, his stature, would cause a person to sell something at a lower price. That's very possible, right? You see Abdullah ibn Umar, mashallah, he'll be like, here, take my stuff for free. Tell me a hadith and take what I have. Perhaps that is what, you know, people would feel. They would feel in awe of them. But these Sahaba won't use their stature and their deen for gains of the world. They will verify, are you sure you want to sell this at this price? And, you know, many, many times they wouldn't accept certain prices. Because the end game was not, I only get a good deal and the rest be damned. The goal was everybody wins. Everybody benefits. Everybody goes home happy. سَمْحًا إِذَا بَاعَ وَإِذَا اشْتَرَى. An easygoing person, subhanAllah. And imagine now that this person who lives this way, acts this way, conducts business this way, day in and day out, wouldn't they be an inspiration for people to accept Islam? They will most definitely stand out among the crowd. They will stand out as a shining example. And that's how a lot of the da'wah was done back in the day, through these people who lived the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ told us, مَنْ غَشَّنَا فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا. When we are doing transactions or anything in life, we cannot deceive people because the one who deceives is not from us. The Prophet ﷺ, as narrated by Ashab al-Sunnah, the people, the scholars of Sunnah, they mentioned that مَرَّ بِرَجُلٍ يَبِيعُ طَعَامًا فَأَعْجَبَهُ. The Prophet ﷺ was passing by a person selling food, and he liked the food he was selling. So the Prophet ﷺ أَدْخَلَ يَدَهُ فِيهِ. The Prophet ﷺ wanted to check the food, the dates, you know, the produce. What is it like? It's stacked on top. He put his hand inside to check what's underneath. This is common practice back in the day, especially. Even I remember in Egypt, we would do this all the time. Put our hand inside the guy's, you know, produce to check what's there. فَإِذَا هُوَ طَعَامٌ مَبْلُولٌ. It was moist, damp food, not the one that was of good quality. The good quality food was on top, the poor quality food was in the middle. This man was hiding the poor quality stuff under the good quality stuff. So the Prophet ﷺ, when he found that, he said, فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ غَشَّنَا. The one who deceives us is not from us. It's not befitting the character of a believer to be deceiving people in anything. Definitely not in trade. When we have to sell something, if I'm selling a car, I'm selling a house, I have to be honest and make sure I don't deceive a person. If I know of a flaw in the item I'm selling, I must, as a Muslim, tell this person of the flaw. This is the principle that the Quran and Sunnah leave us on. The clear guidance. The Prophet left us with that beautiful advice. لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ غَشَّنَا أَقُولُ مَا تَسْمَعُنَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ولا أما بعد. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام taught us these beautiful manners. And I mentioned them today. They can be mentioned at any time, but I mentioned them today as a stark contrast to what happens at the highest levels of Wall Street. As a stark contrast. And this is something for us not to just say, we're not saying this just to make ourselves feel better. We're actually trying to learn the beauty of the sunnah, and then be inspired by that to try to live that in our day-to-day lives. Not to become less ambitious and not try to aim for something higher, but to become more principled. That is what the sunnah teaches us. The Prophet also said in a hadith, نَهَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَنْ بَيْعِ الْغَرَرِ. The Prophet forbade a trade that was ambiguous. Ambiguous. And this is a big chapter of fiqh. What is ambiguous trades? What level of uncertainty, ambiguity is acceptable and what level is not? But extremely uncertain trades and business transactions are not allowed in Islam. Extremely uncertain. For example, An-Nawawi says, you know, like for example, كَبَيْعِ مَا لَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَى تَسْلِيمِهِ. Selling something that you're not able to get. Right? If I'm not able to attain something in confidence, I can't just sell it without having it. And then many related matters are tied to this particular hadith. And you apply this today to someone who would be tempted to short sell. Maybe not a hedge fund, but maybe some Muslim guy who's inspired by these guys. Okay? Or maybe they're looking to buy some options to do some derivative trading to make some extra money. Perhaps they're inspired by this because they see a lot of money in their future. We're not telling you not to make money. وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Don't forget the good of the world and don't forget your share of the world. What we're saying is, remember the principles. Because these principles are the best principles. They are the ones that inspire people, number one. And number two, they protect us. They protect us. The one who sells honestly is protected. And their integrity is intact. The one who sells without too much ambiguity, extremely ambiguous, uncertain trades, if they're not making that, they're making more certain trades. Maybe they make less, maybe they make more, but at least they have been certain and they're protected from these unlimited losses like the ones suffered recently by some of these hedge funds. So we learn from the sunnah this beautiful example and much more on this day. This week, many incidents took place, many events took place, but I felt this was something to highlight because it is something we don't speak often about, which is the beauty of the sunnah as it comes, as it pertains to matters of business. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to live the Quran and sunnah and to implement in our lives. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin fil awwalin wa fil akhirin. Salli ala Muhammadin fil mala'il a'la ila yawmiddin. Allahumma ahyina ala sunnatihi wa mitna ala millatihi. Wa hashurna fi zumratihi wa sqina min hawdihi ya rabbal alameen. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana. Wa qina adhaban nar wa qimus salam.